The organization was formed about 7 years ago in response to the pictures and the stories that were coming out about the torture program at Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo. And we decided that there a number of religious leaders decided that it was imperative for the religious community, the faith community, to speak out against the use of torture by the United States. So in January of 2006, Reverend George Hunsinger, who's a Presbyterian theologian at Princeton, called together national religious leaders to form an organization, a coalition to speak out against the U.S. torture program.
You're working to end the prolonged solitary confinement in U.S. prisons. How many people are in solitary at this time?
One estimate is as high as 80,000 people in the United States are in solitary confinement. And let me just briefly explain how we got to that issue. And we started out with the torture of 9/11 detainees, and our mission is to end all U.S.-sponsored torture. In about 2007-2008, in the New Yorker, a long article came out about the use of solitary confinement in U.S. prisons, and as an organization against U.S.-sponsored torture, we felt it was that we needed to also advocate for the end of the use of prolonged solitary confinement. The United States is one of the world, if not the world, leaders in the use of solitary confinement, and frankly, most Americans don't realize that that's the situation. It's really something that came about in the early to mid-1980s. We had probably one solitary confinement prison prior to that, but in the 1980s, there was an explosion of the prison population, as many people know, with a lot of the drug laws and the mandatory sentencing. But what we know about solitary confinement and what we've learned over the last 100 years, really, is that solitary confinement is a form of torture, and after even 10 to 15 days, an individual who might be otherwise mentally healthy can go crazy in solitary confinement. But we not only put people who are somewhat mentally sane in solitary confinement, we put the mentally ill in solitary confinement. We put juveniles in solitary confinement.
I'm guessing it's expensive to run one of these supermax prisons. Is that right?
Yes, indeed it is. And actually, you know, sometimes we do the right things for the wrong reasons. States are now in such dire budget straits that they're looking at solitary confinement as a very expensive system. In ordinary prisons, prisoners make the food, they serve the food, they do the laundry, they do the cleaning. In solitary confinement facilities, we don't allow those individuals out of their cells. They can't do anything. So everything has to be paid to handle them, to service them. And so they become very expensive vis-a-vis the regular prisons. We've had a couple of states that have made progress in reducing their solitary confinement populations, and that includes both Maine and Mississippi. And in both situations, they found that they saved millions of dollars by bringing the population, the prisoners in isolation, back into the general prison population. And they actually found, and this is an interesting consequence, that prisoner on guard violence was reduced. And so it's been a win-win situation all around for the prisoners, for the guards, and for the state budget.